In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Father Tom, and I have with me Eleanor McCullen. We're going to be speaking on the readings on Sunday, the Epiphany. Epiphany means revelation, that God revealed himself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When we think of the Christmas experience, we think of Jesus being revealed to Jewish people, the shepherds. Jesus being revealed to Anna and Simeon, Jewish people. But when we come to the Magi, Jesus is being revealed to Gentiles. Jesus is too good to be revealed only to Jews, but also now to Gentiles. And then we see in the 10th chapter of Acts, Cornelius the Gentile and his whole household became Christians. Jesus is too good for just Jewish people. He needs to be revealed to the world, maybe to you today. Maybe to you today that you don't know him. You only know how to cuss his name, but you've never met him. Eleanor's going to read from the scripture from Isaiah.
Yes, thank you, Father. And that's my wish for everybody, that here we have a new year that we're going to be uplifted. We're going to be filled with hope. And I will read the first reading in a minute, but I want to wish everybody a very holy, happy, healthy 2016. Also, a year that's filled with light, light in your own heart, light in your own spirit, light of Christ within you. That is the secret, that you walk around, everybody that sees you, you will have the light of Christ within you, and your light will shine out. Remember that. And that's going to be my wish for you also. That now, how do I get the light of Jesus? You get the light of Jesus. He's right there. He never leaves. But sometimes, you know, we're so busy and we're doing this and that, and we our light's not shining because we're wrapped up in the secular world. This is the year that we're going to be wrapped up in Jesus, and then our light will shine. And that's the hope. And in the morning, every morning, when you wake up, don't go about your regular day. Take 30 minutes just to wrap yourself up with Jesus. You don't have to say a whole group of prayers. Just say, Jesus, I'm here. Jesus. And you know what? Someplace it said, Father, be still and know that I am God. That should be your theme song for the year. Be still and know that I am God. And then he will touch you. He will speak with you. He will give you that hope. He will let your light shine. That's the message. The world is in darkness, but you are the light of Christ. And let your gifts shine out to help other people. When you're home, you know, Father, everybody had their Christmas tree lights and everybody's singing the songs. But now the Christmas trees are coming down. The lights are turned off. Your living room looks bare because the Christmas tree isn't there anymore. And you're kind of like, oh, it's all over and I'm in a letdown. It's January and it's cold and I'm in a depression. Guess what? That's not going to happen starting from right this minute. Don't even think about that, because you're the light. Your light's going to shine now. The light of Christ within you, with your meditation in the morning, your meditation at night, during the day, just call Jesus, let my light shine. That's the prayer. Jesus, let my light shine. Give me somebody I can bless today. Give me somebody that's down. Give me somebody that's desperate. Give me somebody that's depressed. Give me somebody that's out of work so I can give them words of hope. So the new year is a year of meditation, contemplation, wrapping yourself up with Jesus, reaching out and helping other people. That's the secret. And we all need help, everybody. So that's my prayer and hope for everybody. And then Father said the first reading, it's right in here. It's Isaiah, but it's the light of Christ. That's what he's talking about. And the light has come, and it's for you, and it's for me. Can you believe it? The light is for us. Now, here, I'm going to read this. It's a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes, look about. They all gather and they come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of the nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come, bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. That last sentence, the whole thing is beautiful, because the light has come. And praise God, we know the light. We pray for people that are in darkness, but we have the light, and it's our responsibility. You know what? We have it. And the Lord said, you know, if I've given you something, I will give you more, but you cannot keep that a gift to yourself. We have an obligation. We can't just sit and have a cup of coffee and say, well, we know Jesus and we praise the Lord, but what are you going to do with it? Actions speak louder than words. And we have a responsibility. If I die tonight, the Lord will say, I did give you the gift. You did know Jesus, but what did you do with it? What did you do with your knowledge? What did you do with that gift? How many people did you tell about Jesus? How many people did you reach out and take care of? Maybe if they were out of work, maybe you sent over a spaghetti and meatball dinner. How many people? You know what the Lord would say to me? Eleanor, I love people. And you know, Jesus does love people. Our God loves people. And he wants us to reach out and help people. That's our big thing. And he will be very pleased with that. So that is the question. What do we do with the gift that we know? We have the light, but what are we doing with it? And I think the last sentence, proclaiming the praises of the Lord. Remember, when you're not feeling good, you praise the Lord. When it's raining, you praise the Lord. When you have a backache, you praise the Lord. When the sun is out, you praise the Lord. That's our middle name. Praise the Lord.
The world is in darkness. That's why it needs the Christian to shine forth with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is in darkness, and it seems to be getting darker and darker. But you know what? When it's dark, the light shines even more powerful. The light shines even more powerful. We are not to be afraid. I understand that this year, young people are not going to the March for Life like last year. Last year they had 700, I believe, and this year only 175, because people are afraid of terrorism. That's very sad that we let the terrorists cheat us of what God wants to do. We let the terrorists cheat us because we're afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear is useless. Just trust Jesus. We need not to be afraid. Fear is the darkness, and the light has come into the darkness, and the darkness cannot grasp the light, because the light is Jesus, and he comes to shine on you, on you, on you, in you, in you, in you, through you, through you, through you. This light that is of God, this light that is God, shines in you. We have, last week, we had a man from Ohio who came to Holy Rosary. He wanted to go to Christmas Mass, and he said, I want to go to hear you, because last year you really touched me when I heard you speak. So I said, that's wonderful. So I told him I was at the 11 o'clock Mass. And when I was leaving, he chased me, and he said, Father, Father, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of good energy in that church. I said, it's not energy. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Then it's the light of Christ. Then during the week we had a funeral, and the singer came up to me and said, "Father, there's a lot of good energy in this church." I said, "It's not energy, it's the Holy Spirit. You see, they feel the light of Christ because Christ is worshipped in this church. Jesus is worshipped in this church. Different ways. We have adoration. We have mass. We have praise and worship. We have people coming in off the streets just to pray. Not energy. It's the light of Christ. It's the light of the Lord who is our God and who loves us." I'm going to read from the second reading from the letter to the Ephesians. Why don't you do it, Eleanor? My voice is cracking.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Father. I'd be happy to do it. But you know, you talk about fear, you know, and I'm just going to add this as our prayer. Father, this is the year we have Jesus. We know Jesus. Why are we afraid? The St. Faustina said, "Trust Jesus, I trust in you." How many times in the Bible does Jesus say, "Do not be afraid," because he knows we're human and we have a tendency to be afraid. But he said hundreds of times, "Do not be anxious. Do not be stressful. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I will never leave you. I love you with an everlasting love." So every morning we have to remind ourselves, do not be afraid. I don't care what it is. If you're going in for an operation next week, do not be afraid. Jesus will be there in the operating room. And you say, "Jesus, I trust in you. I know you are here. Jesus, I trust in you. Increase my trust. I am human. So increase my trust. Increase my faith. Increase the fact that you love me and that you'll never leave me. Increase that in my mind. And when I feel fear coming on, I'll just go into praise. Lord, I'm fearful, but now I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you because I'm fearful. I'm going to praise you because I'm having an operation." This all sounds crazy to the secular world, but it's not crazy because that's the way we live. We live as our God will take care of us. He will lead us. He will direct us. He will pour mercy upon us. He will never leave us. We have that gift to know that. And so that is also the prayer. We will not be afraid. You young people, get on the bus, go to the Walk for Life. You older people, we cannot give up on life and the unborn. We have to still show our determination and our passion. We are the voice of the unborn child. The unborn child cannot speak, and the unborn child saying, "Please, please speak for me. I'd like to be born. I don't have to eat filet mignon every night. I just need love. Please let me be born." So let's not be afraid this year. And when we feel afraid, let's just praise the Lord. Now, I will read this second, where is it here, Father? The second reading. Yeah, I love this one. And then, Father, you can comment. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. "Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel." The word of the Lord.
Amen. The Gentiles, that's us, have an equal standing with the Jewish believers. There's one new man, Jew and Gentile. Yes, because he has filled us with his Spirit. He has filled us with his mercy. He has filled us with his life. The Gentiles, you and me, are the ones that he has given to the world so that we would make the world know about Jesus. Last night we had a prophetic word. The Lord said, "Let people know me. Bring people to me. Tell people about me. I want you to do that, to bring people to me, to tell people about me, to bring people into you, into your faith. I want that. I want that. I want that. I want that." But you see, if we're afraid, we're not going to do anything but be afraid. If we're you know, timid. We're not going to be anything but timid. We need to let our light shine. We need to let people know who Jesus is, not only with our words, but with our actions. But it's through the gospel that the Gentiles became believers. It's through the gospel that the Jews became believers. And the gospel is that Jesus, the Lord, has died for us. He was buried and he rose from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord, that changes people when they embrace Jesus, because he embraces us. I'm reading from Matthew's gospel, the second chapter. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, why does he say that? Because he wants to put it in historical context, that it's not some kind of a myth. He was born in the days of King Herod. Behold, magi, or astrologers, from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at the rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling with the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Now you can see there's more than a star. More than a star that leads them to the Messiah. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written through the prophets." See, it's the Bible and nature. It's revelation and nature that give rise to the Messiah. "And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child." This is interesting, because it's not an infant anymore. He's a child. He's a child. Let's continue. "When you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. Okay, he's a child. He is not an infant anymore. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, no longer a manger, but a house, Joseph brought the baby and Mary into a house, and they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold for a king, frankincense for a priest, and myrrh, one who has died. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord. So we see the child Jesus is in Bethlehem, not the infant. And my question is, where are his brothers and sisters? They don't have any. And if you go to the second chapter of Luke, when the child Jesus is in the temple, 12 years old, where are his brothers and sisters? There are no brothers and sisters. There's only Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But this beautiful thing tells us that the Gentiles, the Magi, are previews of the coming attractions. Previews of the coming attractions that God sent his son not only for the Jew, yes, the Jew first, but also for the Gentiles. It all started with the Magi. And what are the gifts that they do if they were astrologers? They lay their tools, the trades of their tools, the money they received, the incense that they used, the myrrh that they used. They lay it all at the feet of Jesus, and they worship Jesus. No longer are they going to be worshiping the stars. No longer are they going to be into the astrological signs. If you're into astrology, you've got to renounce it, because this is of the devil. I don't even read my fortune cookie at a Chinese restaurant. I don't. And I say, you know what? They're harmless. Well, they are harmless, but you know what? I don't need to know anything that God does not reveal. that I don't know because of the revelation of God. This is the time for us to burn our astrological books, to burn our astrological charts, to burn all the things that are not of God, but are of another spirit, because the light has come. Then the light is Jesus, and he gives us that light. He gives us that light because he is the light, and he wants to be revealed to other people. He wants to be revealed to other people. I told you about the two people that felt the energy in the church, and I said it was the Holy Spirit. There was a third person, and when we went to have lunch at De Palma's in Winthrop, the little waitress said, "I was at your church the last Sunday. I'm going every Sunday. It's beautiful." She was talking more than the beautiful flowers, more than the beautiful wreaths. She had felt the presence of God. And she was there yesterday while I was saying this. I said, "Isn't that right?" And she started waving her head, "Yes, that's right. I felt the presence of God." That's three people in a week who felt the energy, who felt the glory of God, who experienced the light of Christ. This is real. This is real. Many years ago, I went into a church, and I was praying, and the Lord said, "Worship me here." I said, "Okay." He said, "I am not worshipped in this church. They do everything else but worship me." And I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll just give you my worship. Do the best I can." But imagine that a church becomes anything but a place of worship. Anything but a place of worship. The church is to worship God. Jesus said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." We don't want to make it a den of thieves. The first thing we do in the church is to worship. God is worthy of our worship. God is worthy of our love. God is worthy because he has given us the light, and that light shines in the darkness.
Oh, that's beautiful, Father. You know that our God loves worship, and he loves faith. And those are two things he loves. He takes delight in that. In this world where so many people are still spitting in the face of Jesus, we have a heartbroken God, but we can worship him. That will delight him. We can have faith in him to the utmost. And he loves those two things. He doesn't need it, but he loves it. And it puts a smile on the face of our God. And so that's beautiful, Father. Maybe people are saying, "Well, where is the church?" And we should tell them that it's Holy Rosary Church in Winthrop, Massachusetts. It's on Shirley Street. And it is beautiful. And you do feel the presence of God. And the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is alive. Jesus is alive. So we invite you to come either a Saturday night at 5:30 or Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 11 a.m. I guarantee you will feel the presence of God. The music will touch your heart. And that's Holy Rosary Parish in Winthrop, Massachusetts.
1015 Shirley Street.
Yeah, 1015 Shirley Street. But one thing you just said a minute ago, Father, you said the three wise men came and they laid the beautiful gifts at the feet of Jesus. And, you know, it got me thinking while you were speaking, like, well, what am I laying down at the feet of Jesus? And you think, oh, well, I can't lay down gold. So you almost get like, well, there's nothing I can do. I might as well just not do anything because it's something big. But, you know, it's nothing. I don't have to do anything big. I just have to lay down myself and say, "Lord, take over. I surrender to you. Show me your will. Lead me and direct me and love me." So I can just give you myself, which is very little, which is very nothing. But he will do something with me because I'm surrendering to him as my God and my all. And so I just give myself. That's what I'm doing now while you were speaking. So I was glad you said that. I give you everything, my God. And it's nothing, believe me, it's nothing, but you will take that. You take something very small and very nothing, and you can run with that, and you could do something good, but it's not good for me. It would be good because the glory of God would manifest your glory in me, Lord, and then all the glory would go to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You know the greatest gift that you can give the Lord besides yourself? Your fears.
Yeah.
Your fears. Lay your fears at the feet of Jesus. Your fears, because they steal the peace of God from you. And the Lord is with you. The Lord is in you if you're a believer. The Lord loves you. Lay your fears at the feet of Jesus. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The light has come. The light is in you. The light is for you. The light is a person. His name is Jesus, the Messiah. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.